it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's get to the dirty poll.
I saw that. I'm like, we can't not bring that up. We got to bring that up.
Every day.
How?
Just like,
how is it possible?
How do you alienate an entire fan base and make nobody care anymore? Let's show you every other day.
What's been worse, Oregon State's athletic department or the Cracker Barrel rebrand? What's gone worse? There's a good poll question for you. What are people more against, Oregon State fans and their athletic department right now? Or Cracker Barrel people who were like, what happened in the country I love? Where's that old white guy? Give me that old man on a porch again, damn it.
All right, well, let's get to the dirty poll.
Let's do it.
Week 7 edition.
Yeah, buddy.
Quite controversial last week. No Alabama.
No.
We had LSU in it and Vanderbilt in it. Where will we be today?
Here we go, baby. Top 12. We'll start at number 12. A team that I actually gained respect for in a loss this weekend. I love the way that they played. I would have argued their best strength to pull off a win or to hang in the game that they were in was because of their quarterback, and I thought their quarterback was the weak part that ended up costing them the game, which ironically made me feel better about their team because I trust their quarterback. He just had an off day. Then that's going to happen from time to time. I thought their defense was outstanding for the majority of the game. They held their own at the line of scrimmage. Those are major concerns that I had about them against the upper echelon teams of this sport. I think they proved it. Number 12 is Vanderbilt. Number 11.
Vanderbilt's in your top 12 after losing?
Yes, they are. Number 11, Georgia, after a loss to Alabama, came home, played Kentucky. Kentucky sucks. They did exactly what they needed to do. Avoided the Penn State dreaded back-to-back weeks where you let one team beat you twice. They handled their business. They blew out Kentucky. Gunnar Stockton ran in a bunch of touchdowns. Not much to note there. Georgia remains one of the best teams in the country. I do have questions about their passing game and their defense at times. But who doesn't have questions this year in college football? Alabama off of a opening season loss, and we all fired Kalen DeBoer and played the sound bites from legend, has done nothing but figure it out from there on out. They've looked the part the last handful of weeks. They've beaten quality opponents in back-to-back weeks now. 2 weeks ago on the road to Georgia, last week at home against Vanderbilt. Now they go on the road to Missouri. I think the only question that remains about them is, can they avoid the season that they had last year being Alabama had like four different seasons, it felt like, where they would beat Georgia and you're like, oh my God, they're the best team in the country, and then lose to Vanderbilt. And you're like, where did that come from? And then they blow out LSU. They remember when they dominated LSU in a night game in Baton Rouge and were like, they're back. Look at that. Alabama figured it out. And then they couldn't get a first down against Oklahoma. They were up and they were down and they were up and they were down. So far, they've been consistent since that opening week loss. That's the only question I have left about Alabama because we all know the talent that they have on that roster. Georgia Tech at number 9, they were on a bye this past week. Indiana at number 8, they were on a bye this past week. Texas Tech at number 7, handled business against Houston. I don't know if Houston's a legit team or not, but I think they're a, you know, that's a bowl team in the Big 12, and that wasn't even close. That game was on at the same time as the evening game in Miami and Florida State, and it was a blowout essentially from start to finish. Ole Miss gets another test this upcoming weekend. They've looked the part so far. Nothing else has changed other than shuffling in the top 5 or 6. Texas A&M at number 5. Sluggish start for their offense again. That's a concern that I have. We saw them look really good on the road at Notre Dame. And since then, in games against, you know, Auburn and some of the other wins that they've had, it just has been sluggish. And then they pull away late. But their defense has looked the part for the majority of the year. They continue to stack up some nice wins. Some big challenges remain for them. Oklahoma beat nobody with a backup quarterback. They get Texas this week. We'll see if Mateer's back in the lineup. It sounds like he wants to play. Oklahoma at number 4. Ohio State blew out Minnesota this weekend. I got them at number 3. Oregon off of a bye at number 2. And the new number 1 team, again, back to number 1 because they beat another quality opponent. This time on the road for the first time is the Miami Hurricanes at number 1 in the dirty poll. There is your top 12 for week 7 of college football.
Vanderbilt is a shocker to me.
Is that a shocker to you?
Yeah, because you penalized Alabama for losing to Florida State with one loss, but then Vanderbilt gets respect with their loss. But you still are kind of questioning Alabama's consistency, even though they just beat Vanderbilt.
Sure, I'm saying that's the only question I have about them going forward, because that's what they did last year. The Alabama thing to me was more about not ranking them ahead of Florida State.
Well, if Miami loses a game, are we going to knock them out?
Depends on who they lose to and how they look in losing it.
Because last year they were really up and down.
They absolutely were. I have that same question about Miami the rest of the way. They just have the best resume at this point in college football. There's no debating that.
I think my only pushback is,
who would be number 12? Who deserves to be ranked ahead of Vanderbilt? LSU?
Well, why is LSU out now?
LSU didn't play anybody this weekend. It's not a punishment.
I mean, it is 13. If you take them out of the ranking and you put Vanderbilt in.
If I had a AP top 25 poll, they would be the 13th ranked team in the country. So I don't view that as a big punishment. I just do the top 12.
Well, but Indiana didn't move. They had a bye.
They did. They didn't move because nobody in front of them fell apart. I didn't have Texas or Penn State ranked that high.
What was Vanderbilt last week? Do you remember?
I had Vanderbilt at number 12. They stayed at number 12.
So they didn't move and they lost, and LSU gets bumped out because they didn't play?
That's exactly how it worked, because Alabama won another quality game, so Alabama jumped ahead of them, and Georgia won, and now I got the conundrum of Florida State, Alabama, Georgia out of the window, and I could properly rank them.
I think the only other thing I would have, too, of questioning is what teams did last year should have no merit or
I'm not saying they have merit on how I'm ranking them. I'm just saying it's a question I have for the rest of the season.
Well, but it kind of is in some ways. Like, how you're viewing the team, you're holding what they did last year.
Who am I holding that against?
Well, it kind of feels like you're doing it to Alabama.
I have Alabama that low because their loss against Florida State is now a two-loss Florida State team who lost to Virginia, and I don't know how good Florida State is. Time will tell on that. Mm-hmm. That's not a loss against an undefeated team who's ranked in the top five, and they were dominated in that football game for the vast majority of it. So Alabama, if they continue this, it has nothing to do with what happened last year. It has a lot to do with that loss that they have. Some of the shine has come off of it at this point, because that's now a 3-2 Florida State team who might not finish the season ranked inside the top 25.
Oh, yeah, I'm just talking about
Alabama's where they're at. If they continue to rack up wins, they're on the road against a ranked, undefeated Missouri team this weekend.
That's a big opportunity.
If they win, they're going to climb. Oregon or Indiana will lose ahead of them. Like, this stuff will all eventually settle itself. I'm saying the Alabama stuff is a question that I have for them going forward, not about where they're ranked currently in the dirty
pool. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, if Oregon plays... Well, it's tough, but what I'm saying is, like, Alabama, basically, I hear what you're saying, but by citing last year inconsistencies onto this year's team is where I would just say, I don't know if I agree with it.
We did that with Penn State, ended up being right. They can't win a big game. That has nothing to do with this team not being able to win games.
There's like 40 games of evidence.
I'm just saying, why do we hold that against Penn State? Why do we not? This was Kalen DeBoer was the coach at Alabama last year.
Yeah, but it's his second season, not his 15th season, where he's lost 40 of those games.
He's lost 40. It's a little over-aggressive, but I see
your point. What is the record, James Franklin? It's like 1-whatever.
It's not good against top 10 teams.
No.
We know that.
No.
But we hold that against every team that he has. We hold the history against him, despite every team being slightly different.
And also just Vanderbilt not falling out with losing and LSU falling out for not losing.
They have the same record, mm-hmm. win-loss-wise, mm-hmm. and I have been more impressed in the last handful of weeks with what Vanderbilt has done than what LSU has done. LSU gets South Carolina at home this weekend. Mm. We'll see how they look. These are all splitting hairs, right? The resumes are all drastically different.
Into week seven.
I just hate the idea that the team loses a game and we have to, like, now they have to tumble down the standing seven spots. That's just stupid. They went on the road to Alabama, one of the toughest places to play in the country, against one of the most talented teams in the country, and that was a tie game late in the fourth quarter.
They had a 14-7 lead?
They had a 14-7 lead, and if their quarterback doesn't turn the ball over twice in the red zone, I think Vanderbilt wins that game. Now, they didn't. They lost, and that's why they didn't jump up in the standings, and that's why Alabama is ranked ahead of them. But I don't believe in, if you play a tough opponent and you lose a close game and it's your first loss of the season, that therefore you were ranked X, now you have to be ranked Y because we have to tumble you down. Why should LSU get to hang out in the top 12 when they just sat at home and didn't play anybody? Or why should somebody else who played nobody, got to win over an easy opponent, get to rise above you in the rankings just because you lost? If that team went on the road to Alabama, they probably would have lost this past weekend. So, to me, it's a complicated thing to do, but I'm not just going to punish you for losing your first game of the season against one of the best teams in the country on the road.
All right, there we go. The Week 7 edition of the Dirty Poll.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.